It is our goal to see a church planted, church begun, started in the small town of Osuna, which is where we're living. O-S-U-N-A, Osuna. Currently, let me back up. At the turn of the last century, the early 1900s, in Osuna there was a town, there was a church in the town of approximately 120 believers. There were 25 families, early 1900s. By 1904, 1905, 1906, disappeared totally and completely. There is no trace of anything. It left no footprints. We know that it existed from documentation. We have articles written by its pastor, and he signs it, gives his name, pastor of the Evangelical Church of Osuna. We know that there was a church there. We have a list of the kids in catechism, what's called catechism, what we would call Sunday school. But that's it. 1906, around there, it disappeared, and it disappeared eternally. We know nothing. Our goal is to once again have an evangelical church presence in the town of Osuna. There are currently two believers other than ourselves in the town of Osuna. There are two missionary families. Should I back up because of the speakers? Might back up just a little bit. I don't like pulpits. I don't do the pulpit thing. I don't. In Spain, we don't use a pulpit. We use a podium, just a little podium, and even that with work. Where was I? In the town of Spain. In the town of Spain. Let me just real quickly say something here. My English is really suffering. I am not used to speaking publicly in English. And I'm not used to expressing my thought in one continuous sentence in English. So if I stammer and stutter, it's because I've got some Spanish phrase running through my head and I can't quite translate it on the fly. So but understand me, please. Give me a couple years and maybe I'll speak better. In the town of Osuna, there are two missionary couples that work there, ourselves and our co-workers Leif and Luann Erickson. Other than those two families in the town of Osuna, there are two other believers that we work with. And that is it. There are some people who profess, two other people who profess to be believers, but by their acts and by their actions, I have serious doubts. Our desire is to see a small church, what for Spain would be a large church, 25 people, 30 people, congregate in the town of Osuna and the surrounding areas. There are about 15 towns within a 30-kilometer radius of Osuna. That's our goal. That is our goal. That is what we are striving to accomplish, is to see an evangelical church once again sprout, begin, grow in the town of Osuna. That is our task. To help you understand what we have kind of gone through in the last, we've been working there 7 years now, I would like to use a portion of Scripture. It's actually an historical portion of Scripture. It comes out of the book of Acts. And it is the events that happened to the Apostle Paul. A fascinating chapter to study. There are a whole number of themes that run through this, a number of facets that we could look at. But it's the whole Macedonian call. Now, those of you who are involved in missions or involved in ministry or have had to make a major decision in your life, you know that to have someone give you that kind of a call, that kind of a vision, that kind of a direction would be terrific. To have a vision, and I am in Acts 16, Paul is desiring to go to all these places. Okay, and he meets Timothy, has Timothy circumcised, brings Timothy with him. And they decided upon the apostles and elders and Jerusalem from them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith, verse 5, and were increasing in number daily. And they passed through Phrygian, Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Interesting. How did he do that? What does that mean, forbidden by the Spirit? It doesn't say. Doesn't say. An interesting study would be that. What does it mean to be forbidden by the Holy Spirit? Verse 7. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. All these doors are closing. Paul has these ideas. Paul has his plans. He sets out to execute his plans, and somehow the Spirit closes that door. Verse 8, and passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That is known as the Macedonian call, where Paul very clearly in a vision gets a call for help. Come and help us in Macedonia. Paul knew where he was going, Macedonia. Paul knew what he had to do, come help us. And he knew it was from God because it was a vision. All the other doors were closed, and this one opens up. Now for me, I'd be hard charging. I know where I'm going. I know he wants me there. Here I go. Boom. We're out of here, man. We're on the trail. When they had seen the vision, verse 10, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Correct conclusion. Bags are packed. They're gone. Verse 11. Therefore, putting out to sea in Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. To Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a wealthy lady, a lady of influence in the society, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, the first believers, she urged us, saying, if you have asked me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Conclusion, they stayed. Her whole household believed what Paul had spoken. So Paul and Luke and company stay at her house. All right. We have a call. We have immediate action. We have a plan taking form here. And results. Lydia and her household believed. The beginnings of a church. The beginnings of a church. Now, what do you think Paul is thinking? Type A personality, more than likely, hard-charging Paul the Apostle. What do you think he's thinking? God, we're going to see a church here. We're going to see a church here. What happens next? Do you know? There's this little girl, probably a teenager, early 20s, follows them around town. And she yells something. What does she yell? Do you remember? It's not a lie that she yells. It's the absolute truth. But what is it? What does she yell? This is Paul, the preacher of the true God. That's what it says right here. These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now, is that a true statement? Absolutely. That is a true statement. But who is this little girl? A maidservant of the devil. She has been demon-possessed. And the demon, through her voice, says, quite repetitively, with much repetition, and in a loud voice, these men are. And what does Paul do? He rebukes the demon and the demon leaves. And all of a sudden, the men, literally, the men who owned this girl, who was a fortune teller, lost their source of income. They lose their source of income, and guess who they take it out on? not the girl, not the demon. Who do they take, on whom do they take out revenge? Paul. Paul the apostle, who is there by the very call of God, preaching the gospel, doing what he's supposed to do. What do they do to Paul? Throw in the slammer. Not just any old slammer. I mean, way back. They put him in stocks, he and Silas. Put him in stocks, more than likely their feet and their hands. In the dungeon, shall we say, with the rats, with the mice, with the cockroaches, with the slime. There they are. Folks, what would run through your mind if you would have been Paul? Here I am, doing what I'm supposed to do. We see the beginnings of a church taking place. Lydia has believed, her household as well, and then this? I preach from prison. What would you have done? What would I have done? What does Paul do? It's a fascinating thing what he and Silas do. They pray and they sing. They pray and they sing. I don't know if they sang Amazing Grace. I don't know if they sang Joy to the World. I have serious doubts. But they sing. Fascinating. Paul, a man with a clear vision, a clear task, boom, runs into jail. And yet what does he do? It says he gives thanks and sings. Fascinating. To me, absolutely fascinating. And of course, we all know what then happens. There's this earthquake, the jail opens. The jailer goes to kill himself, run himself through with his sword, and Paul says, "Don't do that, we're all here." And what happens to the jailer and his household? They believed, and that very night, they were baptized. Once again, God, in his plan, like we were talking about this morning, God in wisdom used it all to begin a church in Philippi. It's interesting, you read the book of Philippians. Do you know to whom that was written? To the church at Philippi. God did build his church in Philippi, even though Paul had to go through a lot of difficulty and persecution. Now, why am I saying this? Because we, in a very much reduced sense, not in anywhere what Paul went through, but we too have kind of gone through a scenario much like that. It is our desire, it's our conclusion, our conviction, that God wants us to work in Spain, that God wants us where we are. We believe that. We have seen the beginning of some things. We have seen people be in the gospel, interested in what we have to say. We have tried numerous different activities, numerous. We've had things in parks. We've had Christmas concerts. We've had concerts in the hospital, you know, going floor to floor singing. We've worked in nursing homes. Many different things that we've done. The biggest thing was last summer. Last summer, we had a two-week-long, 15-day campaign, evangelistic campaign, that we worked on for over a year to pull this thing together. We had 70 people come, 70 kids. I'm going to call them kids. They were what we would call college and career age. Came from all over Spain. We had a girl come from the Bahamas. We had a group of 10 come from Pennsylvania. We had a girl come from Scotland. We had a youth group come from the Canary Islands. We had a group come from Barcelona. We had a number from Madrid. Group, 70 people, boom, one spot. 2 weeks. We did everything. Everything we could think of, we did it. We cleaned the parks. We had concerts in the evenings. We had concerts in different spots. We had concerts in the old folks' home. We worked with kids. We had clowns. Each evening, we had about 150, 200 people from the town show up, evening activities. We saw all kinds of doors open. The town hall, which is run by the communists, it's a communist party that's in there, and they were voted back in May. Communist party was very open. They gave us what we wanted. We asked for this, they gave it to us. We asked for the use of that facility, they gave it to us free of charge. We asked for electrical hookup, no problem. They gave it to us. God opened innumerous doors for us to work, share the gospel of Osuna through this campaign. It was a success, a resounding success in all areas. We saw people come. We were able to sit and talk with people. We saw the kids who came got actively involved. We saw their faith grow. They were energized when they left. We made relationships through town. People knew who we were. That is the evangelical church. They know who we were. People would see us, stop and say hi. We got to know people who live in town on a personal basis because of the work we had to do to pull the campaign together. I got to know bankers on a first-name basis because I was the treasurer for the campaign. We got to know people in the town hall because we had to ask for permission. It was just great. Lydia. It was great. We saw 14 professions of faith in the 2 weeks. Now comes the jail. When we left on June 23rd, about a month ago, of those 14 professions, not a one had shown up. Not a one. We've had nobody show any more interest. We have not been able to contact anybody for follow-up. In fact, the very last night of the campaign, there was and his fiancée, with whom we were speaking, who were very interested in knowing more of the evangelical church and to sit down and study the scriptures with us because he had an interest in knowing what the scripture says. He's an altar boy in one of the churches in Osuna. That was at 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Sunday morning, he shows up at the church, about 10 or so, and the priest tells him, "You have a choice to make. It's either them or us." He has disappeared. We don't even see him. And we start asking ourselves, is this right? Are we supposed to be here? I mean, all this work, all this effort, all this time, and literally nothing? Nothing? And then just quite unlike Paul, who was in the stockade, and sang and gave thanks, which to me is a challenge. Quite unlike Paul, you know, we begin to look at ourselves and say, what's going on here? All of this and nothing? This is a watch. My mom gave me a watch about 4 years ago as a gift. It's a very nice watch. It's the watch that I use to keep time. Okay, you know, I know what time it is, and I know I should be ending about any time soon here. I keep time with this. I keep track of the days with this. God doesn't use this watch. God's timing is different from my timing. God told Paul to go. Paul went. God had a plan, and that plan had Paul go through a prison. That plan had Paul be beaten. That plan probably was not the plan that Paul had in mind. And I think the same thing is true in our case. My timeline, thinking as an American, my timeline had certain deadlines on it. And I'm coming to realize that I don't think God's timeline is anywhere near mine. I'm convinced that God is at work. There were 14 people who made a vocal, verbal profession of faith. There were many more who heard. Many more. We just don't see it. but convinced that God is indeed at work in the little town of Osuna in Spain. And one of these days, maybe not in my generation, I don't know, but one of these days, God will build his church in southern Spain, and specifically in the city of Osuna. Of that I'm convinced. What does it take? A bigger and better mousetrap? No. What does it take? Prayer. Let's be honest. This is not a fight against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. Spiritual battles take place in prayer. What is needed is prayer and much prayer. Thanksgiving, even. Secondly, perseverance. And third, patience, which is where I struggle. Patience. I want patience. I'm an impatient man. Give me patience now. Prayer, perseverance, and patience. God built his church in Philippi. And the other thing I find really interesting is the way Paul begins the letter to the Philippians. He begins that to the elders and deacons. There was a church, friends. There was a church. I mean, a full-blown, functioning church with all the offices. And that was just maybe 10 years later. God built his church. And I would like to take that as comfort and say that God will build his church even in Osuna, Spain. My task right now is to pray, persevere, and to patiently plug away, plug away, plug away. My call to you all, my call to you all is for prayer. I think we are where we're supposed to be. I think we are. I mean, we don't have a vision like Paul got. I haven't seen any man in front of me. But I've got the conviction. My call to you all is that you would stand with us in prayer, seeking the face of God and praying for the church in Osuna, Spain. Also praying for your church here, that God would build his church, that he would continue to build his church here in this area. And lastly, I would like to ask that you come and visit us. Come and see what we're doing. Let us show you around. Let us show you this hard, difficult, yet beautiful area in southern Spain. If you like deserts, you'll fit right in. God is at work. God is at work building his church. He may not have the same plan we have. Almost guaranteed he doesn't. But he will build his church, and he will use his people to do it. Thank you very much for your support, financial, but more importantly, prayer support. And thank you for letting us come, share with you what we're doing. Sandy is going to have a tapa, because you can get it as a tapa. And a tapa is like a lift hors d'oeuvre that they sell there in Spain. It's a tortilla, which is not a Mexican tortilla. It's like a crepe. No, it's not like a crepe. What am I saying? I don't know. It's a very common dish they have in Spain. But along with it is garlic sauce that you have to try, because it is very typical of our area of Spain. And what you do is you dip the garlic sauce right and dollop it. Is that the right word? Dollop. Then you dollop it right onto the tortilla before you stuff it in your mouth. It's delicious. It's really good. And we also have some books and pictures out there for you to take a look at. Again, thank you. God is good. God is good. And he will build his church. Amen.